just do it, even if it's not going well, you still have to keep going. Or the ones that are like, you know, like, not the parts of me that I would have chosen to pass along.
Tammy, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
You know.
Gotta go get my glasses.
The same.
The same? That's good, right?
Yeah.
So the offices are now locked up since the photo shoot is
over. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the recordings are on.
We're ready to go? Okay.
have better questions. Am I ready?
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the January 20th, 2026 work session. And our first item is our semi-annual, that sounds like church or something, doesn't it? Our semi-annual community development report, Sherry Pace.
I was looking forward to only having half of this work session, so. All right, so happy to be here tonight. I'm gonna apologize to Council Member Smoot because she's seen a lot of these slides. I did put them in a different format, so she would be dazzled by the different format. All right, so the Community Development Department wanted to start with just going over some of the things that we do, or our goals and visions. We try to reflect the community vision in all of the work we do, the general plan and the town center master plan, all of those things that we go out and get community feedback for and engagement on. That's what we're trying to do. We think of all of the interactions that we have with the public as a chance to build public trust, offer good customer service. We always try to be efficient and accurate in our work. I think I strive for that pretty diligently to make sure that when I give you a staff report, the information that is in there is clear and concise and is accurate. We work hard to engage with the public and make sure that they have their voices heard, that they have the opportunity to participate in all things planning. And then lastly, we try to make sure that we are in compliance with the state code and with our own ordinances. So in the Community Development Department, we have 6.5 full-time employees. Under that heading of community development is the building department, the planning department, and then code enforcement. So we'll start with the building department. So this is Cameron Wright. He is our building official. He's been here since 2021. He does all the building plan reviews, inspections, and he's also responsible for City Hall facilities maintenance. That falls under other duties as assigned. So he's been the person that has made arrangements for getting the ceiling tiles fixed so they don't fall on your heads while you're here at City Council meeting, in the various places of the building. He works with closely with the HVAC contractors to keep things going, and all of the fun stuff. And then Angie Dives, she is our permit tech, and she's been here since 2022. So she processes all the building permits. She is responsible for receiving and accepting the building plans as they're submitted, making sure they have a complete application, and then sending those plans out to all of the department heads, giving them notice of what items they need to review. So she has to look at those really carefully when they first come in to know who gets assigned. If it's a retaining wall or something that is in the geologic hazard sensitive areas, she'll route it to our city engineer. She'll route it out to our stormwater if there's a SWIP that's needed. And then, of course, to the planners and to the building official to review. She does all of the scheduling for Cameron. She keeps him on time to his inspections. We kind of just joke that she's like his mom. She makes sure that he's where he needs to be at the appointed hour and keeps track of all of the various different meetings that he has to go to. She does all of our monthly permits. So there are a myriad of reports that we have to give to the state every month, to the county every month, how many building permits and the building permit data. She's also our representative who takes care of our vendor fair out at Legacy Park. She meets with all of the vendors, gets their applications in, and then on the day of the event, she's there to direct them and help them find their places to set up. And then she's cross-trained in utilities and business licenses. So if one of the other two gals that work at the front counter are not in the office that day, she can be back up to them. And that's, we found that's been really beneficial for everybody to understand what each other does so that we can support one another. And we'll cross department boundaries to do that. We don't just do that in our own department. And then in planning, so we have our long-range planner, Allie Avery. She's been here since 2010. She's in charge of all of our long-range planning documents, so the general plan, the town center master plan, the trails master plan, anything that has the word plan in it, it's over her, under her purview. She also does our GIS and mapping. She does all of our zoning maps and helps us keep up to date on the property changes so that everybody in the office can open up their Google Earth and click on a parcel and see current ownership data. She's in charge of our grants administration, so she applies for all the grants and then she tracks them when they're awarded, takes care of the contracts and the resolutions that we bring to you to get approved, and then oversees them till the end of the project and closes out the all the documentation that's required as part of that. She's also does some regional coordination for us. She works with the Jordan River Commission. She's on the Regional Growth Committee, TAC, which is the Technical Advisory Committee. And she's actually just been appointed president for this next year of the of that committee. And then she directs any projects that we assign to our planning intern that have something to do with long-range planning. So she's worked with him on doing story maps and just updating general GIS things. Then Mackenzie Johnson, she has been here 5 years now. So she does all the current planning. So she does zoning review for building permits and business licenses. So anytime we get a business license application, she has to review the land use to make sure it's permitted in that zone. She reviews the zoning setbacks on all building permits as they come in and the land uses. She works on subdivision reviews and conditional use permits and zone changes. We kind of split that up between her and me. Right now it's all me because she's on maternity leave, but she's only got 5 weeks left and then she'll be back. I am counting down the days, let me tell you. So she directs our code enforcement. She works really closely with our code enforcement and helps her understand the code, answers any questions, shows her where to find research when we have a complaint that comes in that maybe we need to research what the conditional use permit was, or just passes on some institutional knowledge because sometimes there's a history with code enforcement when we get a complaint. We've had a complaint before, or one of us in the office know something about that previously. She then also directs the planning intern. She's trained him in doing site plan reviews, subdivision reviews, minor ones. She has, and then also zoning letters. People send us requests for a zoning status letter on their property, and so we do a little bit of research and come up with the history and decide if they're, or tell them if their use is permitted or if it's grandfathered. She's a staff to the Planning Commission, along with myself. She also does some regional coordination, serves on some steering committees, and she's on the Regional Growth Committee, TAC, as well. Caden is our planning intern, and he's been with us 2 years. He's graduating this spring, so we'll be looking for a new intern. He works up to 29 hours a week. When school is in, it's usually around 15 hours. When he has some breaks, he gets a little closer to that 29 hours. He's our front line for counter help when people walk in. He meets with them first to find out what it is and if he can help them, if it's a simple question, or coordinates the staff member that needs to come in and help them with the questions that they have. He's been doing some zoning review of building permits and business licensing, and we've assigned him to review the Good Landlord Program. So just for those of you that don't know, people who are landlords and have apartments for rent, have rentals, if they participate in the Good Landlord Program, get a certificate, take a two-hour class, then they get a discount off of the on their business license fee. It basically is a course that helps them pick tenants that are going to be good citizens in North Salt Lake, let's put it that way. And then, like I said, he's been working with Alley in the long range doing some GIS admin and basically assisting at some projects. He did lots of research for me with the Arts Committee on the mural program. And so anytime we need somebody who can just do some basic research, we put Caden on that. And he's just awesome. We love him. He think he's going to be a great planner someday. As much as we'd like to keep him, we know that he's going to spread his wings and he'll do fabulous. Code enforcement, this is Amber Simmons. So she's been with us less than a year. She started last year on April 21st. She investigates any complaints that we receive. We have a online portal that people can submit complaints on zoning violations. She has to sort through those violations because people aren't very good at picking the categories that they need to go in. And sometimes the category is a parking issue that has to be sent to the police department. Sometimes it's something to do with an event and she would send it to the appropriate person for that. So she has to sort through those, make sure that they are going to the right departments. And then any that stay in our department, she starts an investigation on them in a file. And I think I told you about her a couple weeks ago, and her research skills are just top notch. She goes way out of her way to help the residents correct their problems with the least amount of pain and suffering, shall we say. She is also assists other departments. So this last year she assisted Public Works with some tree trimming, and I'll go over some of the stats in a minute. But we have trees that overhang the road that should be trimmed to 14 feet, and so she goes out and makes contact with the residents and tells them about the ordinances about, you know, trimming their trees and why they need to take care of that. She works on park strips, so if people are putting concrete in their park strip or if they don't have vegetation in there, that would be something that she would make contact with them. She spends a lot of time removing signs in the city, those little, hey, call, you know, invest with the, earn $10,000 a day becoming a day trader or something. You see them all over the city. Hopefully you're seeing a lot less of them because she has been really hitting the pavement, getting rid of those. And she's even made contact with Rocky Mountain Power about these signs that get stapled higher and higher because their signs keep disappearing, so they keep stapling them higher and higher to their power poles, and has worked out a system with them where she'll report to them who is putting their signs on their power poles. They've given her permission to pull them off, and that way then they can send a letter from their attorney to stop putting your signs on their power poles. She has also been working on business license violations. So she's been out checking the list of licensed businesses we have with individual streets and identifying businesses that need to have business licenses that are operating without them. And then conditional use violations as well. And then she makes reports for our hearing officer if a code enforcement violation gets that far. Last year we only had one hearing scheduled. The individuals did not show up to that, and after that, after not showing up, she was able to locate somebody to discuss that and get it resolved without bringing it back before the hearing officer. Of course, then there's me. So I supervise the building planning and code enforcement. I monitor the legislation every year that our wonderful state legislators are working on. I was amazed last Thursday when I saw that they already had 400 bills enrolled, and I haven't even checked to see how many they've done today. But I like to go through every single one of them, and I keep a spreadsheet. I start with the league spreadsheet, and then I add to it with my notes, and I subscribe to them and make sure that I'm getting the updates on the bills that would affect the city and that we would need to comply with and make code amendments for. I write all the code amendments, and I do subdivision review on the more complicated subdivisions. I am staff to the Planning Commission and the Arts Committee. I do some economic development, work really closely with Ken on those projects. And then I represent the city with the Regional Growth Committee. I'm on the Land Use Task Force. So the Land Use Task Force is organized by the League of Cities and Towns, and it has members of city planners or representatives from cities across the state, and members that represent the Home Builders Association. And so when a piece of legislation is coming up that's going to affect land use, it goes through the Land Use Task Force first before it goes to a vote, or at least that's the handshake agreement that we've been working on the last several years. It works pretty well because we can get some of the issues out. The home builders can hear from the cities as to why it won't work for us, and we can hear from them on what the problems are and try to make solutions that actually solve the problem rather than create new problems. And then I'm our city's representative on the Utah Redevelopment Association. And so that group, we monitor any legislation that has an effect on RDAs. So this is a great big laundry list. I like to say we do everything and the kitchen sink, or at least it feels like it sometimes. But that's one of the reasons why I really like my job, and I think most of my department does too, because we're never doing the same thing every day. We get to do lots of different things. Just when I think I've seen every application that or every idea that somebody can come up with, somebody stumps me and comes in with something new. That's really something that I enjoy, is get to see the variety of that. So year in review, just give you some of the stats. So in 2025, and this is a calendar year, not the fiscal year, we processed 492 building permits. Just since July 1, we've processed 294. So those are not all new homes. Those include new homes and townhomes, but it also includes remodels or people who are adding a deck on or re-roofing or getting a water heater, anything that requires a building permit. That's the total number. Right now, we have 24 permit applications under review. Our average time for reviewing a building plan to have it ready for building permit is 5.5 days and 9.25 days for commercial. So we are required to keep track of how long it takes us because we have, under state's code and our ordinance, 14 business days to review residential. So that's single family, duplex, or townhomes, and they have to be reviewed in 14 days. And then commercial has to be reviewed in 21 business days. That does not include building permits that are in geologic hazard areas that have to have a geologic hazard study. We've had some confusion in the last couple of years about the process for that, which we've worked on. You just a few months ago looked at the geologic hazard ordinance update, and I think we put in a really good process so that we can talk to the homeowners about the process before they start hiring architects and engineers. And because a lot of times the very first interaction they have with the city is they submit a permit and we go, oh, you have to do a geologic hazard study. Now their permit is on hold and that might take 2 or 3 months. So if we can talk to them ahead of that and say, hey, while your architect is designing your home, you should be having your geologic hazard study done so that when that's done, you'll have your plans ready to submit, you can turn it in and get you a permit in a much faster and streamlined manner.
Sherry?
Yes.
How does 492 measure up over, say, a five-year period or something?
In the last 5 years, I would say that's up. We're trending up. We've been down the last few years, but definitely in 2025, we're trending up. We've done a lot more permits, and I see a lot more on the horizon. I have the Brighton Development has 3 projects that they're working on, so it's picking up.
My mind was going in the same direction as the mayor's, and I wonder if you could for all of these, or at least for the ones that you've got, if you can give us the trend.
I have it all in a spreadsheet, so I can send that to you.
And then for the valuation, I wonder if we track that citywide and perhaps normalize it to inflation so we can sort of understand how valuable is our city. Is it is it going up?
I don't know what the total valuation of our property, but this is this is new valuation, so
but you could do that, right?
Things are added by building permits. But I have that data in the spreadsheet for about the last 10 years.
If I might take a crack at that, I think Heidi's done some work on assessed value in the city, and she probably has a handle on how much it changes every year based on our permits and things, and whether it's helping us keep up with inflation, which I think it probably is. But she could do some analysis for you if you want to see that.
And valuation is may not mean the same thing that the county assessor means. When we are, that valuation numbers, we are looking at it from the cost of the permit. What is the value of the work that's being done on this property? And so that is done by building code. There's a chart based on square footage and built type of construction. And so we have to set that value that our building official sets what he believes the value is, and then the permit is charged based upon that value.
When we get assessed from the fire district, is that based on the assessor or our own numbers?
It's assessed valuation and population, I believe, is our formula.
So I'm just couching those numbers with the county assessor might think it's worth more, and they might think it's worth less than what the building code is. It definitely, our valuation, I know, is less than what the builders are charging them or what you could buy a home for. So just like with your property tax assessment, usually your realtor will tell you they can get more money out of it than the county says it's worth. So take that with a grain of salt. Okay, so building inspections. Last year, we did almost 1,700 building inspections. We also have to track the wait for inspections, and we have to have an inspection within 3 days of a request, and our average is just over a half a day. So people are calling the day before, and they're getting the inspection the very next business day in general. When our building official is on vacation, we have a company that comes in and substitutes and does inspections for him. So what are some of the projects that are under construction? You may have seen over near Lee's Marketplace, there's a new building going up. That's a medical clinic. So that's the last pad site in the Foxborough Marketplace. The permit is ready for NSL Lofts, the project at 130 East. I just met with the developer last week. He's ready to finally sign the development agreement and pull the permit. And he's just finalizing his documentation for his construction loan. And that is imminent and should start within the next little time. And I'm fairly certain that it's going to start soon because he's applied with the state. He's given them his NOI, which is notice of intent for his SWIP. So you don't usually do that unless you're ready to start building because there's some time frame on that. We've had an application in review for the new McDonald's at 1100 North and Redwood Road. We were just contacted last week by McDonald's and said, please go ahead and put our application back into the process. So that'll be going to Planning Commission for site plan approval and should be starting construction very soon. We have Clifton Commercial. I just received today the north side. They have submitted a plat amendment. They want to condominiumize the offices or the retail businesses that they're putting in there, so that'll be being processed through. We continue to work with the Kimballs on the property at Redwood Road and Center on their planning. Their representative comes and sees me about every 6 months. The last meeting I had with them was with the owner and him maybe about 3 months ago, and they have some interest in both a hotel and a gas station on that site. So that's the property that's along Redwood Road, east of the Amazon facility.
Awesome. Sherry, can you repeat what Clifton Commercial, you said they're going to do what?
They're going to condominiumize their commercial building.
I didn't know that was a word, but so
it might,
they want...
I might have made it up.
No, I don't. I'm sure it's a word. So you're saying they want to replace what was slated for commercial and make them condominiums?
No, they'll be business condos. So individual businesses will own a portion of the building for their business.
I see. Okay.
So instead of having a single owner rent or lease out the spaces,
right,
they will then sell the individual spaces. So
a
commercial condo plat.
Thanks. New word of the day. Got it.
That would probably be a little clearer if I said it that way. We continue to work with the realtor who's marketing the GE building and the redevelopment of that. We haven't seen any formal applications, and it's been a little while since I've heard from them, but that's one of the things that's on our plate. And then we're working on the Eaglewood Village. I had all these calls last week. So last week I had a call on the site next to Starbucks and individuals interested in putting in a neighborhood market there. So they are working on an application. And the other parcel that's south of that, between that and the stop, the owner of that is working on securing a hotel who would like to locate at that location. So I can't guarantee that it'll happen, but we just keep hoping. So last year in our planning department, we processed 44 applications. So those are zone changes, code amendments, subdivisions, site plans. We give each individual application a separate number and track them. That's up from the previous couple years, but not as high as some of the years leading up to 2020. So we've been a little slow the last 5 years, but it's picking up. Under construction, we have Eaglewood Cove phases 13 and 14. Our under construction phase 15 is just finalizing their final plat, and that should be coming online, hopefully, if they do well in their sales on 13 and 14. Silver Sky Lofts, that's a really slow project on Highway 89. If you notice, those are the townhomes just to the north of Odell. He's still proceeding with construction. He's just very meticulous in his building. They're beautiful units when you go in, and they're very well done. He just doesn't move very fast. And then Clifton Place North, obviously the townhomes there are almost all of the permits have been issued for that, and they'll be starting on the commercial side. As far as anything that's permitted, that's approved or permit ready, NSL Lofts again is ready to go, and hopefully that'll be within the next couple of weeks. Williamsburg Apartments, our entry on our south side, they still have their approval. I'm hoping that the signs that I'm seeing with Brighton and building and moving some of their projects along means an upturn for everybody, and that they might start soon. But I haven't heard any additional news on that. Again, just like I said, Eaglewood Cove 15 is in final plat review. And then Village Station buildings 3 through 5. 5 would be the apartment or the hotel site. The site for building 4 will be coming before you in 2 weeks for a general development plan amendment. So you'll see that in a couple weeks. Residential projects that you'll see tonight is Clifton Towns. That's the south. So at 1100 North Redwood Road on the south side, you'll have that before you. And then, again, I just said the Village Station Amendment. We have some redevelopment potential out there. The Coventry LDS Church and the church on 800 West, we've been told, are being sold. I'm starting to get phone calls from various developers who are putting in offers on these property to find out what the zoning is. Both of them are in single family neighborhoods. We've been telling them that we're not going to rezone it. It would be really difficult to get, you know, multifamily or high density residential up on that where the site is for the Coventry Church. There's some topographical issues with that site. Yes.
What is the zoning? What do you allow per acre, like if they go in and develop it?
I believe those are 12,000 square foot lots are the minimum. So it'll have to match the development pattern that's already in the neighborhood.
I don't know if I mentioned this previously, but I wrote a letter to the presiding bishop, Rick, on behalf of our church down here right by the freeway. I'm drawing a blank on their name. Abundant Life.
Abundant Life.
They're interested in buying the Cum Tree building.
That would be great.
And yeah, I thought that was a real win-win. And apparently the church will even discount the sale if it's for another church.
That would
to
be,
go in, so.
That would be fantastic.
So I'm hoping that happens.
And we've seen a little, some hints of that the Usinian property along Highway 89, that the property owners are looking to sell it and start redevelopment on it. So just had some inquiries, but I don't have any official applications on that. Okay, so our year in review in grants in 2025, this is a list of all the grants that we had awarded to us. There are some other applications we've made that we haven't received word on whether they've been awarded, but so far for 2025, the grants that we applied for, we received $1.8 million in award. And I just wanted to throw in a plug for Allie and the hard work she's done. So in the course of her career in the last 15 years, since 2010, she has brought in $15.8 million worth of grants for the city. So there's a lot of great projects that wouldn't have been done or wouldn't have been as extensively done as they were without her hard work. So we are really proud to have her work for us. My code enforcement year in review. So thus far, or in 2025, Amber located 16 businesses that were operating without business licenses and was able to get them to come in and comply and apply for their business license and pay their application fees. She has removed 245 signs from the city, the little snipe signs we call those. She sent out 59 courtesy requests on code enforcement. So that's the very first step, the second step. The first step is a phone call. She'll try to reach somebody by phone or knock on the door and talk to them about the violation. If it proceeds to the next step, that's where the courtesy letter comes in. Her case log, she's closed 135 cases in 2025 in just 8 out of 12 months, so that's quite significant. And she's distributed 748 tree notices. So she had flyers made up that door hangers to go to the homes or the streets that had trees that were over the sidewalk or over the street that needed to be trimmed. And so that's a significant amount, and there's still a lot more to do on that. So that'll be something that she'll continue to work on in next summer. Ordinance projects that I'm working on next year, we're working on the Town Center design standards. We will have our consultant here in 2 weeks to give you an update on those to let you know the progress that he's made. We have some updates that we needed to the business licensing statutes. We have just some minor changes that we need to fix that have been requested by engineering and by Public Works related to driveway widths and then track out. We have some problems with some businesses in the industrial area that have dirt or mud that right before their entrance into the road, and then they're tracking out mud into the road. And so we want to put an ordinance in place that will require them to put a track out area, a certain amount of either pavement or road base or something, so that they're not just tracking mud into the city street and that goes in the storm drain. The ever popular WUI map, we'll work on that. And then code enforcement, I've had Amber doing some research for me on lighting ordinances. We have, from time to time, we have complaints come in from residents where another resident has light that's trespassing onto their property, but we don't really have ordinances that address them, so we just kind of have to facilitate a conversation between those neighbors about being good neighbors and redirecting their lights. Most people are really good about it. They don't realize that they are causing an impact to property owner, their neighbors, but we would be better served just to have a few more more specific lighting ordinances that tell us about the luminaires and how bright it can be, etc. And then we have the one section of our code says trees need to be trimmed 8 feet above the sidewalk and 14 feet above the street. We have another section in the code that we didn't know it was in two places, and it has 7 and 11 instead of the 8 and 14. So we just need to change that one section so it's consistent. And then whatever presence the legislature gives us this year in this session, that'll be, I'm sure there'll be some code amendments that'll come out of that. There usually is. Other projects, we're working on updating the general plan. We did get an update from our consultant on that. They're looking at having another draft to the staff in February, and hopefully we'll be bringing that before the Planning Commission and City Council in March or early April. We will continue, the annexation area addressing. So we have the engineering interns have gone through, or they're in the process of going through all of the addresses that are using a Bountiful address, assigning a North Salt Lake address. Once we have all of that done, then we'll be organizing a committee with some input citizens from the area and go over what the issues might be in readdressing, how much it might cost them, and then be coming to the council to make a proposal if you want to participate to help them, you know, change the numbers on their house or anyway, just make it official and get the addresses changed. But we're working on that.
Sorry, Sherry, because you likely said this, but what's the next milestone, time, date,
for month addressing
on the general plan?
Oh, on the general plan. So we should be bringing it before the Planning Commission in March, and then to the City Council at the latest in April. So I'm crossing my fingers that the draft we get back is awesome and just blows my socks off.
I'll put a plug in for the committee.
Okay, great.
Use us.
We continue to work with UDOT on the I-15 expansion. My understanding is that they're at the point where they're doing, two firms are making bids for the design build portion of the expansion. So now we've done all this work working with the conceptual planners from Horrocks. We'll be working with these two consultants as they take about 9 months to come up with their bid proposals. And they'll be looking for some of the exact same information that we've already went over with them. So it feels like deja vu for us, but it's part of the process, so we're happy to do it.
So is it correct if I said, for example, at the senior lunch bunch, that they're not coming east at all? Encroaching, there was a woman that was afraid her house was going to get...
No, they're not acquiring any, there are no homes that will be impacted or lose property.
Good.
They're staying within the right-of-way.
I told her that wasn't going to happen.
There's some property on the west side of the freeway that they'll be acquiring along Overland, as well as on Main Street or just adjacent to the freeway for detention and things like that. But it won't affect any homes. We continue to work with the contractor and the designer for Hatch Park, go to those committee meetings and make sure that anything that affects planning that they have our input. We're going to continue to work with the Arts Committee. The Arts Committee is going to be giving you a report in another month again, and looking forward to trying to get a second mural in the city and start looking at some public art locations. The Trails Master Plan, Allie is working on that with the Trails Committee. You're going to hear from them tonight. And so we're looking forward to that. We're also continuing to work on the South Davis Greenway. And again, the 2026 legislative session. And then who knows what else is going to come up. There's always something. For as far as our demographics and businesses, we have a total of 813 active business licenses. Our department worked with the finance department to get all of the applications and processing online, so now people can renew online instead of having to do it on paper and having Stacy have to go through all of that paper for at least 813 business licenses every year. Now they can just go into the portal and they can upload their information changes that they have and submit their payment and get their business license renewed much easier. Our population now is estimated at 24,811. And these are just some of the other fun facts that we have. As far as housing units, we have 8,468, and about 68% of those units are homeowners, and the rest are rentals. From the last census, our household size dropped from 3.03 to 2.9, and our median household income is $111,000. And just, again, there's a few more interesting demographics on North Salt Lake in Utah. I did want to just show you this. This is how I get those population projections. So if you ask for where does that 24,811 number come from, we get some predictions from the Kimsey Gardner on the growth rates, Kimsey Gardner Institute at the University of Utah. And then we track building permits. So every dwelling unit that we have, we count on this, and then we multiply it by our household size. So in 2020, when we did the census, the 2020 census came out to be a population of 21,907. And our estimate, based on our building permit, was 22,372. So about 500 off. So I feel pretty confident that the way we are estimating population is fairly accurate, or at least it's reliable enough to use with some level of confidence. And then every year I count the building permits. So here's some of the trends. If you look in that second column from 2009, you can see the number of dwelling units that were built. So our highs were back in 2015 when we built 473. Then we went down in 2016. We came back up in 2020 and 2021 with 249 and 259. You can see that we fell really low in 2023 to only 25 new dwelling units. But in 2023, we acquired 349 dwelling units from the annexation area. So our population went up a little bit from that, from those folks.
I'm having a deja vu because I asked you this exact same question we met last week and I forgot what you said to me. I noticed like our projected units are going up, so that means we're building more units for housing, but our projected growth rate is declining. Is that because we're building out the city or because birth rate or we just have less children in our city? I asked you that question. I forgot what you said to me. Like, why is our projected growth rate declining as our projected units are going up?
Okay.
And you can't remember what you told me, can you?
So as far as the projected growth rates, those are all come from a statistical model that the Kimsey Gardner uses. So I don't actually know exactly what they do, and I feel like Ted knows. He looks like he's ready to comment.
Do you care if I take a couple minutes?
Yes, I would love you to.
So the county level comes from the state. The city level comes from Wasatch Front Regional Council. So the state's county level forecast is from an economic model. It's based on how many jobs they think are going to want to come to an area. And then they pivot off of that and they look at natural increase in immigration based on the strength of the economy at a county level. And then WFRC, we work with cities to understand, are you allowing growth to happen in your city or are you not so much and where? And in Davis County's case, the where of growth is really a function of what a city says they're willing to welcome. And let me be clear, right? Davis County is nearing build out. It's nearing the point at which there's no more big pieces of vacant land. And the amount of growth that economically that the state, you can tell me to shut up whenever you want. Oh. The amount of growth that the state forecasts economically, the only way that we accommodate that is by having city and town centers, places where we are willing to do strategic intensification. Otherwise, we would not fit the amount of growth that Davis County, that the state forecasts economically wants to arrive here. When regions, here's my little editorial, when regions do not accommodate desired economic growth, you see prices really spike. Like, think of Southern California. And you see very long commutes.
Say that again.
When the economy wants to continue to grow in an area, but there's not the willingness to accommodate the housing growth that is related to that economic growth, right? You know, economic growth and the jobs and the homes that relates to it. If there's not room within an area for both, then you might still see the economy grow up, but housing prices will shoot up, and you'll see housing development happen much, much further afield. And then we all suffer those consequences of very long commutes, air quality problems, expensive infrastructure. It's really kind of, and really expensive housing prices. And we're kind of already seeing this dynamic, but it could be way worse.
Well, and at least from year to year, as we look at the budget and I meet with Heidi and try to predict how much revenue we're going to bring in building permits, what I will do is I will call the developers that have projects on the table that are approved, and I will ask them, hey, how many units do you think you'll be taking down in the next 6 months, and get them to give me what they're projecting. And those numbers are getting better this year. Interest rates are coming down, building costs are coming down, or demand's going up. Whatever investors are ready to start investing again in these projects, and so they're starting to move. We've had a lot of projects that have entitlements that are just sitting there with builders who are unwilling, or developers who are unwilling to build the units.
So. Well, and just just an observation that I find interesting is, in the past 10 years, our city has seen about a 4,000 person growth, but you just said that we went from 3.3 to 2.9 average per person, and we're nearing build out, population is going down, and yet the projection in the next 10 years is about a 4,000 person growth. So the projections are showing the exact same growth in the next 10 years as the last 10 years, but that's just...
Not quite, because, I mean, if you look at those numbers, like in 2015, it was 7%, and most of these are all projected to be under 2%. So while we're still adding units, we're just not adding as many people in those units. So we're adding people and we're adding units, just not as many as they could be, because household sizes are getting smaller. And it's not, I mean, difference between 3.03 and 2.9 is not a lot, but it is showing a trend of trending downwards.
And yeah, I think so from 2014 yeah. at 19,000 to 2024 at 24,000, and then 2024 to 2034, 28,000. I was just noticing that last 10 years, 4,000, projected next 10 years, 4,000. That's just an interesting projection.
And they could be less, because you can see, like in 2023, the projection for our city was 1.12%, and we grew 0.3%. We really just had a drop off in building permits. So, but I am seeing that trend upwards, and that is good news to our finance director. And then this is just the same data, just in an updated. So on our projections, the population date is as of January 1st of each year. That's what the estimated population is at 24,811. And so we'll be updating these graphs on our city website. And that is all I have for you tonight, unless you have any questions. And I'll be happy to send you those building permit numbers so you can kind of see the trends on all the total building permits. It's really interesting. It's just one table. Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll start our regular session.